Assagai, Courtney Assagai, Book 1. Written by Wilbur Smith and read by Sean Barrett.
August the 9th, 1906, was the fourth anniversary of the coronation of Edward VII, King of the United Kingdom and the British Dominions and Emperor of India. Coincidentally, it was also the 19th birthday of one of His Majesty's loyal subjects, Second Lieutenant Leon Courtney of C Company, 3rd Battalion, 1st Regiment, the King's African Rifles, or the KAR, as it was more familiarly known. Leon was spending his birthday hunting Nandi rebels along the escarpment of the Great Rift Valley in the far interior of that jewel of the Empire, British East Africa. The Nandi were a belligerent people, much given to insurrection against authority. They had been in sporadic rebellion for the last 10 years, ever since their paramount witch doctor and diviner had prophesied that a great black snake would wind through their tribal lands, belching fire and smoke and bringing death and disaster to the tribe. When the British colonial administration began laying the tracks for the railway, which was planned to reach from the port of Mombasa on the Indian Ocean to the shores of Lake Victoria, almost 600 miles inland, the Nandi saw the dread prophecy being fulfilled, and the coals of smouldering insurrection flared up again. They burned brighter as the head of the railway reached Nairobi, then started westwards through the Rift Valley and the Nandi tribal lands, down towards Lake Victoria. When Colonel Penrod Ballantyne, the officer commanding the KAR regiment, received the dispatch from the governor of the colony, informing him that the tribe had risen again and were attacking isolated government outposts along the proposed route of the railway, he remarked with exasperation, "Well, I suppose we shall just have to give them another good drubbing." And he ordered his 3rd Battalion out of their barracks in Nairobi to do just that. Offered the choice, Leon Courtney would have been otherwise occupied on that day. He knew a young lady whose husband had been killed quite recently by a rampaging lion on their coffee shamba in the Ngong Hills, a few miles outside the colony's fledgling capital, Nairobi. As a fearless horseman and prodigious striker of the ball, Leon had been invited to play at number one on her husband's polo team. Of course, as a junior subaltern, he could not afford to run a string of ponies, but some of the more affluent club members were pleased to sponsor him. As a member of her deceased husband's team, Leon had certain privileges, or so he had convinced himself. After a decent interval had passed, when the widow would have recovered from the sharpest pangs of her bereavement, he rode out to the shamba to offer his condolences and respect. He was gratified to discover that she had made a remarkable recovery from her loss. Even in her widow's weeds, Leon found her more fetching than any other lady of his acquaintance. When Verity O'Hearn, for that was the lady's name, looked up at the strapping lad in his best uniform, slouch hat with a regimental lion and elephant tusk side badge, and burnished riding boots, she saw in his comely features and candid gaze an innocence and eagerness that roused some feminine instinct in her that at first she supposed was maternal. On the wide, shady veranda of the homestead, she served him tea and sandwiches spread with the gentleman's relish. To begin with, Leon was awkward and shy in her presence, but she was gracious and drew him out skillfully, speaking in a soft Irish brogue that enchanted him. The hour passed with startling rapidity. When he rose to take his leave, she walked with him to the front steps and offered her hand in farewell. "Please call again, Lieutenant Courtney, if you are ever in the vicinity. At times I find loneliness a heavy burden." Her voice was low and mellifluous, and her little hand silky smooth. Leon's duties as the youngest officer in the battalion were many and onerous, so it was almost 2 weeks before he could avail himself of her invitation. Once the tea and sandwiches had been dispatched, she led him into the house to show him her husband's hunting rifles, which she wished to sell. "My husband has left me short of funds, so, sadly, I am forced to find a buyer for them. I hope that you, as a military man, might give me some idea of their value." "I would be delighted to assist you in any possible way, Mrs. O'Hearn." "You are so kind. I feel that you are my friend, and that I can trust you completely."